Zalango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Sunday, September 16, 2001, at 11:30 p.m. entitled Human Rights Patrol Part 3, Reparations and Human Rights Part 2. Your guest will be out of the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, owner and operator of Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM, Kaka Inko Uhuru. Your host will be out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Ibana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
Say land, it is clear.
R, folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear.
C, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lies can't help him, troops our weapon will collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old.
Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in so.
See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves.
His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay.
The lessons of mine on thyself will help us all move forward.
We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch.
Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls.
Seeking truth will turn that around with a human rights patrol.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio. Part three of the Human Rights Patrol is underway for the internet audience out there. On the telephones with us tonight out of the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, is War Correspondent Commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force. It's our 4,470th night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield. We're going to the sister station in the criminal enterprise called Durham, 94.3 FM, and hook up with War Correspondent Commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force. Hitting up on a big time 900 nights of broadcasting. Warrior Inko, Yahuru, and Zalango to you, Warrior.
Zalango, brother. Ready to drop some signs and let the people know that if you want to know, just go seek and you shall find.
Brother, I think that's so appropriate at this time. That is the only way to know is to seek, because there ain't no other way to know, is it?
That's right, brother.
Well, we're here tonight. We're going to talk part two on a very important issue, the African hostages, because, you know, our issues ain't everybody else's issues in this country. We ain't going to trip, right?
That's right, bro.
We ain't even going to apologize, you know? In fact, we ain't going to apologize because if it wasn't for others, we wouldn't even be in this dang on country.
That's definitely right, bro.
So out of respect for our ancestors, one of our goal right now is to recover the money, our back pay, right?
That's right.
And go home. Because, you know, if the record is read right, the record will show that we never did volunteer to do this move, right?
That's right, bro.
We invite y'all who listen to the program to pick up Thomas Paine's writings. Read the petitions to the government that our people put forward. With the internet being the source of this particular program, get right off this show and start surfing some of them sites on the internet. Warrior Inko got quite a few sites he's going to share with you today where you can find more information about African people and our move toward our reparations. And here's one thing that white folks and other folks need to comprehend. We don't care what you think about us getting our reparations. In fact, the fact that you think it's up to you shows you that you got a mind problem, right?
That's right, bro.
Because ain't no people ever on the earth been wrong like African people. And if you think that that's a subject of debate, that means you still believe we three-fifths. And really, you're out of bounds.
That's right, bro.
You are out of bounds if you're looking for your human rights. You are totally out of bounds. Especially if you read Thomas Paine them writing, right?
That's right, brother, because Thomas Paine is basically let everybody know how evil and cruel this system was, and he just wrote it out plain.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And he wrote several papers in the day on the subject, and he spoke of the fact, look, we can't lie and tell the world that we don't know that these people are civilized. We can't tell everybody these folks are savages. We know from the people we buy them from that they ain't savage. The things we have them do, they ain't savage. I mean, how long would it take you, brother, to take a savage out the jungle and teach him to plant you some crops?
That's right, bro.
Build you a city. Raise your children.
That's right, bro.
Think about a savage raising your children. Huh?
I'm telling you, bro.
So it doesn't make sense. It never made sense. But it's a part of the still today propaganda put forward. Number one, black folks wasn't doing nothing anyway when we was brung here. And since we've been here, it's been a come up. That's the biggest lie there ever was. And anybody that wants to trip on that kind of stuff really ain't going to relate to the Human Rights Patrol at all. Because we're talking about the fact that divine law will tell you who we is. Right?
And brother, what we're going to bring to them today, we're going to let them know about the different types of ways that other people is handling this reparations thing.
Well, let's do that, brother, because a lot of people are so uninformed, they probably think it's a black radical thing, don't they?
Tell you, bro.
Other people have gotten reparations, right?
That's right.
You remember World War II? Executive Order 9066, when they locked up all the people of Japanese descent?
That's right, bro.
Even the Japanese caseworkers didn't get to get off the bus when they went to Manzanar.
That's right, bro.
You gotta stay here, baby. You know?
That's right, bro.
But they got their reparations. Other people of African descent are struggling, like we are, to get our reparations. Warrior, you on point.
Okay, brother. First of all, we're going to drop this. There's been a lot of things going on with people talking about the Black Tax Rebellion. And the Black Tax Rebellion is basically coming out of this. And this was in the Birmingham Times, Thursday, May 28, 1985 edition. It says government owes blacks $357 billion. And the National Black Tax Rebate Association recently launched a major petition campaign to press demands that the federal government disperse a tax rebate of $35,738 to each black household, a total of $357 billion, as compensation for the cumulative economic disadvantage produced by the 60-year separate but equal period of unconstitutional racist discrimination in America. The organization also is demanding total tax exemption for blacks for a period of 60 years. And, brother, basically what they're talking about, when they passed that separate but equal thing there, basically what they were doing was still charging us full taxes. And we couldn't use the new buildings that our tax money went for. We couldn't use the bathrooms, water fountains. You know, we couldn't use the parks, recreation areas.
And let's go back now to the Dred Scott decision of 1851.
That's right, brother.
What did the top clown on that court say, brother?
He said that whites had, there was no law that blacks had that whites were bound to respect.
Why? Because it was never intended that blacks be in the past, in the present, or in the future, citizens of this country.
That's right, bro.
How in the world could you say you can tax us?
That's right, bro.
You can't tax. Well, go tax the Canadians if you're going to tax us.
I'm telling you, bro.
Dang on it. Let's tax everybody. Why are you going to tax us? See? And what Brother Inko's telling you is that our people have been addressing these issues for a minute in this land. See, a lot of folks think, simply from the modern-day minstrel shows, that African people are having a great time, right? And when they raise that flag, we want to cry.
That's right.
We want to cry because we want to tear it down.
That's
right? That's the real. We got a whole different view of what's happening. We're like the native people. We did not build a country. We helped tear down many countries.
That's right, brother.
Ain't that what the native people say about it?
That's right, brother.
They say we didn't help build no country.
That's right, brother.
They said we helped tear down many. And that's what really happened. See, divine law, you want your human rights, you got to deal with the real. You cannot fake the game.
Hey, brother, that's what they're saying here. They're saying for all practical purposes, black tax dollars were used and supported the very institution and programs that locked out black participation in economics and also political service.
And who was responsible for those programs, brother? Was that the government?
That's right, bro.
Why are folks screaming to us that the government don't owe us nothing?
That's right, bro.
There's an article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal, July 16th, 2001.
That's right.
It's about, did you get that article, Warrior?
No, brother, I didn't get a chance to read it yet.
Okay, but you got it?
Right.
Maybe you can give the people the title of it, because the title's slipping my mind right now. But if they talked about right after Reconstruction, to maintain the slave system, the government had us all sent back to those very same plantations. Only difference was the 13th Amendment said we could be slaves because we had all been convicted of a crime.
That's right, bro.
You need to read that. It's a 14-page article in the Wall Street Journal. Journal, I should say, right?
I'm telling you, bro.
And it's plain. It is plain. Alabama did it up to the 1930s. And tell me they ain't doing that today, leasing us out to these companies behind bars.
That's right, bro.
That's right.
They're doing the same thing today. And matter of fact, brother, it's just as lucrative because, you know, and they always complain about how much the person, you know, so-called cost to be in prison. Well, check this out. They're offering free labor to the companies. I mean, if it was something about trying to get some money back, they would be charging them companies a fee.
Well, brother, you know, you hear this talk about companies going south of the border.
They're lying.
That's too much money to pick up and build down there.
That's right, bro.
They simply giving them our people from behind bars.
That's right, bro.
Your option is 23 hours in a cage.
That's right.
Now, what makes the most productive slave is one that feels they want to do it.
That's right, brother. Definitely.
That's a come up when you want to do it.
And brother, make it so bad they had people who was in prison for scamming people. They had them doing customer service work where they could get the person's credit card and scam them right there from jail, bro.
Brother, in the criminal enterprise called the state of Illinois, they had folks behind bars doing licenses and everything. So, you know, it ain't a trip that they know that these folks are actual criminals. They're slave laborers.
That's right.
If they were criminals, they'd work for the government.
That's right, bro.
I like what my brother Gene reminds me of. He always reminds me, brother, when you talk about organized crime, who's more organized and more criminal than the U.S. government, right?
That's right, bro.
You can't get around it. In fact, there's a federal court right now, still suing the state of Alabama right now, according to the New York Times, because they said the county and the city lockups is looking like slave ships, because Alabama still today locks up more people per capita than any state in the country, and on top of that, spends the least amount of money on prison construction. Now, what do you think they do that for?
That's right, bro.
Because the 13th Amendment, get it, the 13th Amendment, Article 2, it says you can't, it's even in that Wall Street Journal article.
Go ahead for a second. Let me grab that Constitution thing.
Go ahead, brother. You know, because we got to comprehend, folks, we're not talking about a couple white boys decide to beat down some black people. We talk about a government founded on the enslavement of African people. There is no government. There is nothing they have without enslavement. In fact, we've shared this with you in past programs, and we always got to remind you, in $1,860, the value of African people, according to the New York Times, July 13, 2000, an article called Slavery Fellows Travelers by a cat by the name of Eric Feiner, in $1,860, our value was $3 billion.
That's right, bro.
African descendants who were said to be slaves in this country. That's more than the total value of all banks, railroads, and factories. You have no need for no banks, railroads, or factories without the African descendants being held here in chattel slavery.
I got it here, brother.
What amendment you got, brother?
Article 13, brother.
Well, you know Huey P. Newton, founder of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, him and Bobby Seale said in October of 66, they were going to show the people that the Constitution don't mean nothing for us.
That's right, bro.
You ain't nothing but a conviction away from being a slave. Read it to him, brother.
Okay, it says, the proposed amendment was sent to the states February the 1st, 1865, by the 38th Congress. It was ratified December the 6th, 1865, and it was put in effect July 28th, 1866, brother. And I got that from a calendar I had, brother, so I just throw that in there.
Cool, brother. Go ahead.
Section 1, slavery. Prohibited. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2, Congress given power to enforce this article.
Now look, go to that Wall Street Journal article, and look what they'll tell you. Black men was in locked up for things like thinking about committing a crime.
That's right.
Thinking about. Now, here's what they said. We didn't, you know, after slavery, they made it. And Warrior Inkle, you shared with us big time information in the Human Rights Radio Network on this. And you out there listening to the Human Rights Patrol stations along the network that are listening to the Human Rights Patrol in the micro radio thing. Y'all get a hold to one of the stations nearby you, and you can get these programs and share with the people, because they are full of information, way more than we have to have time to share with you in programs of this sort. But we talked before, brother, about the pocket veto of Lincoln in 1860.
That's right, bro.
Where there was an effort put forward by some to make it so that there was no form of slavery that could show up in this land. And Lincoln said to the folks that came to him, gentlemen, that deed is done. He said, look, I'm already going to get shot. I'd like to live a few more days if I can, guys.
And brother, you know, when General Sherman issued that 40 acres and a mule proclamation, well, a lot of people don't understand, it was almost a year or so that them people had that land. Them people had been living on that land by over a year, brother, that had grown crops, was raising their families, and that's when, after they shot Lincoln in the head, that criminal Andrew Johnson came back and gave the land back to the people that enslaved our people in the first place.
And you know why he did? You know why I did? Because on that day they shot Lincoln, they also took the old Secretary of State out that day.
That's right, bro.
And most people don't talk about the fact that the first and third most highest ranking official in the country was killed on the same day.
That's right, bro.
Right?
That's right.
They don't talk about that because they know, man, up in here, they know they'll get beat down, man.
And brother, there were three presidents before that were assassinated. They don't talk about them either.
Because they know. And look how they did on Kennedy, man.
Oh, man.
Man, they spun that boy around like he was on the dang on Ferris wheel, popping him with bullets, didn't it?
Hey, and how they set him up was, brother, they put him out there with no protection in a convertible. You know, if he'd have been in a hard top, they would have had a problem trying to kill him like that.
Well, you know what Steve Coakley said? They played that heavy metal song for him, didn't they?
That's right, bro.
They played it for Reagan, too, didn't they? That's why Reagan told everybody, I don't remember nothing.
Nothing.
He got Nancy writing books about, Ronnie does not remember me.
That's
right? Because you know who he had to pick as his vice president the first time in, don't you? Huh?
Who, bro?
The Voodoo Economics.
That's right, bro.
Mr. Skull and Bones. Mr. Rubbers in the Skull and Bones Club. Bush.
That's right.
Right? Well, you know, you see a lot of stuff going on today, brothers and sisters out there. And we want y'all to stay focused on this issue of us getting our money. Your problems that you're having today is coming from not having the things you need to eat. Now, our eldest teachers, as your father always taught us, white people need to start talking about their reparations. But we ain't the kind of folks that's going to force on folks something they don't want to be about, right?
Hey, brother, since you brought up that point, I want to bring a good white source, you know, that was always for our people getting our reparations and for justice. Number one, the Quaker Revolution against slavery, 1652. The Mennonites protested slavery in 1688.
Right, they actually gave sanctuary to our people.
That's right.
In many cases.
And right here, modern day, I have reparations. And, you know, what would you do with $1 million? And this is to the President of the United States, a petition I got on the web. You can find it at www.petitiononline.com. And it says, to the President of the United States, whereas we, United States of America, citizens of European descent, are in support of the just demands of African Americans for fair, long overdue reparations for the crimes of slavery endured in the United States of America. Whereas we, United States of American citizens of European descent, have the political and economic power to end racism and ensure social and economic justice for descendants of the people who suffered and survived the crimes and legacy of slavery endured in the United States of America. Whereas the government of the United States of America has been instrumental in having pressured the German and Japanese government into the payment of reparations to the people who suffered and survived the crimes and legacy of slavery endured during World War II. Whereas the government of the United States of America has also paid reparations to the Japanese Americans who were detained in concentration camps during World War II. Whereas upon the ending of slavery, the United States of America, the government of the United States of America, promised the 40 slaves, former slaves, 40 acres and a mule as compensation, and then broke his promise. Whereas the payment of a fair, long overdue reparations are an investment
Well, you can forget that. But isn't that summed up? But you know, whites
understand the United States of America citizens of European descent are in support of the just demands of African Americans for fair, long overdue reparations for the crimes and legacy of slavery endured in the United States of America, do enjoin and direct you to use all the powers of your good offices to implement fair reparations as previously promised by the government of the United States of America to descendants of slaves in the United States of America without delay.
My goodness gracious. You know what they need to get? They need to get that book by that white boy called Michael Hoffman, They Were White and They Were Slaves, and draw up a petition for themselves too, right?
Well, that's right.
For real? Y'all need to know the real about that. Warrior Ankle Time got away from us, man.
That's right. I'll tell you, bro.
We're going to have to do this again, though?
That's right, bro.
We really appreciate you being with us. And how many nights are y'all in out there in the criminal enterprise called Durham?
Brother, we're on our 891st day and night of broadcast.
And if you're listening to this on the West Coast, check out Brother Michael Hibbett at 103.3 FM at BVHP Radio, a member of the Human Rights Radio Network. And if you're listening to this program anywhere in the center part of the criminal enterprise called the United States, check out Human Rights Radio and the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, 99.9 FM, or Human Rights Radio and the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, 106.5 FM, of course, Warrior Inco, Human Rights Radio, 94.3, right there in the criminal enterprise called Durham, kicking it strong 900 days long, right?
That's right, bro.
Brother, we'll talk with you next time on the Human Rights Patrol, right?
That'll work, bro.
All right, Warrior. Again, on the telephones with us tonight, out of the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force. He's the owner, he's the operator of that Human Rights Radio sister station we call Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM. That's Warrior Inco Yahuru in there. How many nights, brother?
891, bro.
891st night of broadcasting.
And, brother, I'd like to throw this in right quick.
Go ahead, Warrior.
The value of knowledge is to use it. It is not humanly possible that a person can retain all knowledge of the world, but if a person knows how to search for all the knowledge of the world, he will find it when he wants it. Brother Marcus Garvey.
Brother, beautiful way to end it. I'm in Banner, Kentucky. We're in our 4,470th night of broadcasting. You is listening to the People's Choice. It's the Human Rights Patrol.
Bye, brother.